Kurute does. Ashi Vam inauspicious. Translation. O Brahmana, let me now advise you for your own protection. Please hear from me. By offending Maharaj Ambarish, you have acted with self-envy. Therefore, you should go to him immediately, without a moment's delay. One so-called prowess, when employed against a devotee, certainly harms he who employs it. Thus, it is the subject, not the object, who is harmed. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. A Vaishnava is always an object of envy for non-devotees, even when the non-devotee happens to be his father. To give a practical example, even Kashyapu was envious of Prahlad Maharaj. But this envy of the devotee was harmful to Hiranyakashipu, not to Prahlad. Every action taken by Hiranyakashipu against his son Prahlad was taken very seriously by the Supreme Personality of God. And thus when Hiranyakashipu was on the verge of killing Prahlad, the Lord personally appeared and killed Hiranyakashipu. Service to a Vaishnava gradually accumulates and becomes an asset for the devotees. Similarly, harmful activities directed against the devotee gradually become the ultimate cause of the performer's falldom. Even such a great Brahmana and mystic yogi as Durvasa was in a most dangerous situation because of his offense at the lotus feet of Maharaj Ambarish, a pure devotee. Om Gyana Tirmanasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Sakshamatami Natasma Shigurvi Namaha Nama Om Vishnupayara Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swamini Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravan Pachani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Desha Tarini Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Deita Gadada Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakti Hare Krishna 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 Krishna, Krishna Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, we're still at the offense of a Vaishnava, a great Vaishnava like Maharaj Ambarish. Offending the devotee of the Lord is called mad elephant's offense, and it could destroy all of our devotional creeper. It could. Lord Chaitanya warned that if you're not careful, this offense destroys or seed of devotion, Bhakti Lata Beej, and we become dried up, useless in the pursuit of self-realization and preaching. So one has to be very, very careful to abstain from this serious offense. I like to take a holistic view, means like an all-round view of Maharaj Ambarish and Durvasa Muni. Durvasa probably thought that he was doing something good by trying to rectify Maharaj Ambarish. But this was a serious mistake. Discipline in society is very important. It is fundamental for the smooth running of society. But if it's misused, then it can create havoc. It is because of discipline that differentiates the different ages. The living entities are 100% disciplined in Kaliyuga. And so we have Kaliyuga. Then in Treta Yuga, discipline has fallen by 50%. In Dwarpa, 75%, and Kaliyuga, 25-0. So discipline is important for the smooth running of society. The parents discipline the child. The husband disciplines the patni. The guru disciplines the husband. The king disciplines all of society. The brahmana disciplines the king. And when the brahmana goes out of hand, then the Lord disciplines him, as in this case here. So it's very, very important. Otherwise, society becomes totally animalistic. And especially for Kaliyuga, this is so, and it shall go on like this. More and more, we'll see that discipline will waver and wane. And more society will become animalistic. For this is the future of Kaliyuga. But like a movement like ours, the Krishna consciousness movement, at least we can put a hold to the fast flow of Kaliyuga. And we can rejuvenate some hope into the living entities by establishing this path of bhakti yoga. But after 10,000 years, and even this movement wanes, then everything would start to go downhill. And so for us, we have to try our utmost to help to preach, to discipline ourselves and qualify ourselves to help push on this preaching movement. It is important. In the Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada explained about Hiranyakashipu. He was actually the king, really, but he was a great demon, and he was very envious of his own son, Prahlad Maharaj. And he created so many havoc for this child. He tried in so many ways to kill him, to vanquish him. And so the Lord was looking on until he finally came out of the pillar and killed him. But Hiranyakashipu thought that he could have smarted the system by becoming immortal. He tried to trick Lord Brahma into giving him immortality. But when Lord Brahma couldn't have done so, then he asked for some boons that would place him in a very stable position. So he actually thought he had conquered death. He couldn't die during the day nor in the night, indoors nor outdoors, by man nor by beast. He couldn't be killed. So he thought that he was invincible. He had a sister called Holika, and she had a boon that she couldn't be killed by fire. And he cajoled her to take Prahlad into her lap and burnt him. So they set a big fire, and Holika went in there with Prahlad Maharaj, And and they light up this big fire. And Prahlad was just calmly sitting there. And the fire blazed up, burnt everything to ashes. And out came Prahlad. Holika, who had the boon to not be burnt by fire, because she misused that boon, was eventually killed by the fire. See? So it shows that the potency. One time I had quoted recited a quote from the Mahabharata. Fire burns everything to ashes, but the wrath of a brahmachari can burn up fire itself. So here we could see that the purity of this brahmachari could have burned up fire itself. And so Prahlad was saved from that that danger. So I'd like to take a look a little at Durvasa's offense. He thought that Maharaj Ambarish was an ordinary king. And he thought that Maharaj Ambarish was puffed up and not wanting to give him the respect that he is due. But this was a complete mistake. Even when Maharaj Ambarish had broken the fast with a little water, he thought that he had taken food or something. Somehow his mystic powers didn't work there. And so he cursed the king. And this the Lord didn't take so easily. The Lord explains that declare it boldly, Arjuna. Kunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranasyati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. So Lord Krishna did not take this lightly, and he disciplined Durvasa properly. There was a nice instance in the Mahabharata when Arjuna was going to fight with Karna. Arjuna asked Lord Krishna, suppose Karna kill me, my Lord, what would you do? And then Lord Krishna says, the sun may fall from its orbit, the earth may split into fragments, fire may become cold, but Karna would not be able to kill you. However, just suppose that you were slain, then I would kill Karna and Salya with my bare hands and then destroy the entire universe. So we can see that the Lord, for the sake of his devotee, can do anything. And we have to be very cautious and very careful not to offend anyone. Let us look a little bit in Durvasa's situation. Of course, I had asked a question one time, well, since he was so annoying to the devotees, why didn't the Lord just vanquish him with a Sudarshan Chakra? And Kripa Sindhu Prabh Prabhu rightly said that because he is a Brahmana. And it is true within the Varnashram system, the Brahmana, if he commit even abominable acts, he is not to be killed, just like Ashwatthama. When he destroyed the sons of Draupadi, Arjuna did not kill him, but he humiliated him. So the same thing with Durvasa Muni. But Durvasa's position seems to be highly unusual, because there is many times he also acted in very positive ways to assist the Lord in his pastimes. When Indra had dishonored his garland, he of course Indra, but then that brought up the pastimes of Lord Kurma. The pastimes of Lord Kurma, because of that course, came there. So we can see that it seems like he's been used as an instrument to assist the Lord in his pastimes. There was another occasion when Kunti Devi had served him meticulously, very nicely. Then he blessed Kunti, and so the Pandavas were born. And they were a great instrument in the pastimes of Lord Krishna. So it seems like he's been used in so many ways to help the Lord in his pastimes. But when he misused his great ability, then that can create havoc. Another time, Duryodhan had served him well, and Duryodhan sent him to visit the Pandavas. But that was with the intention of him coursing the Pandavas. And of course, the Lord knew, he could have foreseen, and he went and saved the Pandavas from his course. And there was another instance when Bhishma was about to leave his body. Maharaj Yudhishthira had a final question. Bhishma could not answer. He said, My body is rapidly deteriorating. My mind is all confused. I'm about to leave my body. So please, Krishna, answer Yudhishthira's last question. Yudhishthira had asked, what's the merit of serving a Brahmana? And so, here's the answer. Lord Krishna says that Durvasa Muni went to Dwarka. And he announced, who is brave enough to serve me? No one dare serve Durvasa because of his temper. And then Lord Krishna says, I'll serve you. And so Durvasa, sometimes he would eat so much food to feed like thousands of guests. And so the Lord had to prepare that for him. And then other times he would not eat anything at all. Sometimes he would ask the Lord, in fact one time he asked the Lord to take my remnants and smear it on your body. Lord Krishna did that. He took the remnants of Durvasa and smeared it all over his body. Then on that same occasion, he took his remnants and smeared all over Rukmini's body. Lord Krishna did not say anything. Thus. Then another day, He told Lord Krishna to harness her, to yoke Rukmini up and put her to pull his chariot, Lord Krishna's chariot. Lord Krishna did that. Harness Rukmini up and put her to pull Durvasa's chariot. And then he paraded through the streets. He would even whip Rukmini. Lord Krishna did not protest. When she couldn't pull anymore, he jumped down and walked away. When he was finished with that, he said, Krishna, there is no one in the universe that is more tolerant than you. And therefore I bless you. Of course, the Lord is enacting his pastime, so he's above all this really. But he says, I bless you that your body would become immune to any weapons except the sole of your feet. And Rukmini would become a very chaste woman. She would not suffer from old age and the symptoms of old age and so. And then he left. And so Lord Krishna told Yudhishthira, well, this is the benefit of serving a Brahmana. That you could get a great course or you could get great benefit. Depends to how you do it. And then Bhishma passed away. So right now we're doing the pastimes and studying this apparat of Durvasa, but we can see that within his position he is different within the universe, and it seems that he has a special role. But even a great mystic like him, he had so much power, yet he had to be disciplined by the Lord. He had to be disciplined and chastised by the Lord severely to bring him to his senses back. He had the ability to pass through the coverings of the material universe and go into the spiritual world within an instant. Not even the demigods can do that. The demigods, just to get an audience with the Lord, it would take them sometimes 1,000 yogas, 1,000 celestial years at least. They would go to the ocean of milk and pray and so forth, and then they can be able to see the Lord and things. And here's Durvasa within an instant, traversed the material universe and went straight to the spiritual world. But when he was there, at least he could have asked to stay there. After appeasing Maharaj Yudhishthira, he could have asked to stay within the spiritual world. But because that's not his goal in life, that's not his aim, he didn't do that. He lost a very great opportunity. And so the Lord cautioned him, warned him. He says, the only way for you to mitigate this offense is to go back to Maharaj Ambarish and ask his forgiveness. There is no other way. See? And then, of course, we know that he went back to Maharaj Ambarish and asked his forgiveness. Maharaj Ambarish even felt not offended, but he didn't like the idea that this great Brahmana had to fall at his feet and ask forgiveness like that. But that was the only way to stop the Sudarshan Chakra from killing him. And so it is a great lesson for all of us. Maybe this had to happen so that it could be placed in Bhagavatam, so that we get this lesson. We have to be extremely cautious. Extremely cautious how we're dealing with Vaishnavas. Offense sometimes it starts in the mind. See? Sometimes it starts in the mind and then it goes to verbal and even physical. Of course, physical is the greatest. But even the ones in the mind, we have to be very, very careful. Within our mind, you know, we may say, we may contemplate in so many ways, try to evaluate someone, try to judge someone, and then sometimes it comes out verbal, and then it may even come out physical. And so we have to be very, very careful. This is the one thing that can destroy our devotional creeper. And so on this path we have to proceed cautiously, carefully, to avoid this one offense. And for me personally, I would like to apologize to all the devotees and whomever I've offended in any way, to ask forgiveness. And I mean, looking right now, I can tell that there are some devotees that are definitely not so pleased. So I ask their forgiveness if I've offended them in any way, maybe especially in my questioning. And hope we can continue smoothly in Krishna consciousness. So I stop here, and if there is any comment or question. Yes, Mataji. That is in, I think in the Bhishma Parva in the Mahabharata. Yeah, and when Yudhishthira, and well, the thing is, what I was amazed, I mean, this thing is coming up really, and and the last question that Maharaj Yudhishthira posed, the last question, and Bhishma was even unable to answer. Then Lord Krishna answered it really. That was the final question of Maharaj Yudhishthira, and he brought up this pastime. So even from this pastime, we can understand that he is a very powerful personality and very strange also. It seems he has just like the Shapta Rishis. The Shapta Rishis has a special role in the universe. When the demigods misuse their powers, then the Shapta Rishis will correct them. That's who? Kashyapa, Gautama, Jamadagni, Atri, and there's a few others I can't remember offhand, but whenever the demigods misuse their powers, the Shapta Rishis come into action. And it seems like Durvasa also is within that category, when the kings especially. It's stated that Vena, for want of humility and discipline, Vena, Nahusha, and Duryodhan had to suffer. They were all cursed by Brahmanas. And because of the humility, Prithu, Maharaj Prithu, Yudhishthir and Ambarish flourish because they had great humility and discipline. See, so and all three of those personalities were coerced by Brahmanas. Veda was coerced by the Brahmanas, Nahusha was coerced by Agastya, and Duryodhan was coerced by Kanva. They were all coerced by Brahmanas. And so that's part of the role. But in this, because discipline is very important in society, and it's because of lack of discipline, society goes haywire. And it's because of lack of discipline, Kali Yuga is here also. And we are actually in the transition of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga have not actually started. See, we're still in transition, really. But when it starts, you know, there'd be so much havoc. And so it seems like he is one of the personality that brings about discipline also. But for a Brahmana, I mean, you have to do it with caution and humility. For a Brahmana to exhibit such rage is not accepted. The Lord actually chastised him. You're a Brahmana and you're carrying all this this passion and rage. That's not proper. You have to give it up. And any other question? Oh, yeah, Madhuji. Yeah, interesting question. In a qualified circle of brahmanas or devotees, such practice may be accepted because all the personalities there are qualified, and we all would understand the behavior of a brahmana or so. But of course, that behavior could only be applied, you know, to great personalities like the Lord and so forth. That cannot be applied now or cannot be practiced now. But let us say in the circles of qualified personalities, then we have to know what's brahminical behavior, what's proper chastisement, you know, and so forth. Rules of conduct. We have to know these things, and then we can accept these things because we're all within the same category, and we can understand that if chastisement is there, then it's for our benefit. If the Brahmana chastise, say now we could say the temple president or temple commander, something like that, then he would have to see it as something meant for his ratification and his advancement. See? But where you have uncultured people, then cultured practice cannot really be applied so well. See, you have mudas to deal with. You cannot even tell them properly what to do. And that's happening right now today, and especially within this country. Even in the schools, you cannot discipline the kids. In the home, the parents cannot discipline the children because the laws is so much. And of course, it's been misused in some ways, but also it's been misused and abused. But discipline, as I said earlier, is fundamental for the proper, the smooth running of society. Right now, what Jesus said, spare the rod, spoil the child. What Krishna says, for discipline, I am the rod of chastisement. So it is necessary. But it has to be done properly, of course, you know. But it's because of the waning of proper discipline, the world would become animalistic more and more and more. But of course, in the association of devotees, then we have to know what's rules and regulation, and we can understand those things. All right? Any other question? Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah. Sure.